Good morning. We have a good crowd this morning, and it's certainly good to look out and see faces of those who want to come together and worship God. And I'm encouraged by your presence. It's good to have some of our own family home and also visitors with us, and we're grateful. And now to have an opportunity to study from God's Word, that's certainly an encouraging thing. In the medieval times in Europe, around 500 to 1500 A.D., there were a lot of castles built. Maybe if you've had an opportunity to travel in Europe and go visit a castle. They're cold and damp. Those are some of the qualities, but they're fun to look at. And a lot of times in medieval Europe, when those castles were built, they looked something like this. In the middle, there would be a stone building that was called the keep. In Proverbs chapter 4, the scripture reading that Abraham just had, the first verse there says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." Inside the castle was a keep. It was a place where you ran to when the enemy crossed over the moat, and they crossed over the bridge, and they got through the wall, and they got into the courtyard, and they got into some of the inner workings of the castle, and they're still coming in. There's one last place you go. You go to the keep. The keep is the most guarded part of the castle. Very thick walls, usually one way in, very difficult to be in. It's a place that was guarded more than any other part of the castle, the keep. This morning, I want us to consider some statements in the New Testament where we're told to keep ourselves, guard ourselves. I think all of us here this morning probably are sitting beside someone that we want to protect, or we know of someone. We want to protect our spouse. We want to protect our children. We have family members and loved ones that we want to protect, if not physically, spiritually. We want to help them go to heaven. We all have individuals that we want to help. We all have individuals that come to our mind where we say, I would love to guard them and protect them and help them get to heaven. We all have those individuals. But this morning, I would suggest to all of us that before we can guard others, we need to first guard ourselves. One of the first and best ways to help others is to help ourselves. To protect others is to make sure that we're protected. And God wants us to guard others, but before we can do that, we need to make sure that we're guarding ourselves. This morning, I want to talk about the statement in the New Testament, keep yourselves, a keep. The Greek word translated keep is the same idea as the guard, a guard. And there are some statements in Scripture where that is mentioned. For example, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, as the Israelites are about ready to cross over into the land of Canaan, Moses says to the Israelites there in Deuteronomy 4 and 9, keep your souls that you might remember the things which you saw. Before you go into the land of Canaan, protect your own inner soul so that you're not taken away by those things of the land when you get into the Canaanites. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18, when they are conquering Jericho, and they've blown the trumpets and the walls have fallen down and they're going through the city there, Joshua says, keep yourselves from the devoted thing. Don't take that. God said not to take anything from Jericho. We know how Achan did that later, right? In chapter 7, he saw some things and he took them. He didn't keep himself. He allowed the lust of the eye to get a hold of him. And he saw this garment from Babylon and he saw some money there and he took it. But Joshua says, keep yourselves from the devoted thing. You turn to the New Testament in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus comes across a couple of brothers that are fighting over their inheritance. And Jesus says, keep yourselves from covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Life is not about material things. Keep yourselves from covetousness. You turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 29, when the brethren are gathered there in Jerusalem to decide the matter of, do you have to be circumcised or not in order to be saved? They settle that matter and they say, no, circumcision is not necessary, but there are some things you have to guard yourself against. And so they write a letter and they send it out to brethren. And James says in Acts 15:29, keep yourselves from idolatry and things strangled with blood and fornication, things associated with the Gentile world. Keep yourselves from that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul tells young Timothy, keep thyself pure. That's a challenging thing in today's world, that it just seems like everywhere you look and turn, there's defilement and impurity everywhere. And on all kinds of levels, and it's hard to get away from it. Keep thyself pure. But there's one other one. If you'll turn with me to Jude, the little book of Jude, right toward the end, we want to look at that statement this morning for our admonition. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that there's something this morning that will help us to get to heaven. Think about that castle, friends. Think about that building in the very innermost part that is the most guarded place, and we're going to run to the keep. We're going to get ourselves to the keep. And think about that as we read Jude 20 through 23. There are five admonitions here that we want to consider for our lesson this morning. Jude writes, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what we want to talk about this morning. We all know of the trials and tribulations that we have to go through, and the pressures and the problems that are out there in the world. The way we walk out of this building this morning and protect ourselves from those things is to keep yourselves. Before you can help others, you must help yourself. Before you can guard and protect others, you must guard and protect yourself. And we want to let Jude help us to do that this morning. What are these five admonitions that Jude gives us? Well, the little book of Jude primarily is about ungodly men. You can start reading in verse 4 all the way down through the book, and you'll find where there's a number of places that are describing ungodly men. Especially if you look at verse 15. How many times the word ungodliness is used right there in just that one little verse. These brethren were surrounded by ungodliness. But look at verse 20, the contrast. Jude says, but. This is a contrast. You're surrounded by ungodliness, just like we are in the world today. But you Christians can be different. You can guard yourselves from that ungodliness that is everywhere. He describes them as beloved brethren. So let's see what Christians can do. What can we do this morning to keep ourselves, to protect and guard ourselves? Well, look at what Jude says there in verse 20. But you, beloved, the first thing he says is building up yourselves on your most holy faith. If we will constantly be building and growing in the Word of God, we can guard ourselves. If we are stagnant, if we are mediocre, if we stay the same, if we're lukewarm, then we find ourselves drifting back the other way toward the world. We have to, number one, be building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Paul uses this word in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, if you'll turn with me there. Christians are to be growing. Are we doing more this year than we were doing last year? Are we more spiritually minded? Are we more active in the church? Are we more mature? being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each of us is a building fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Whether it's the construction out here on Warfield Boulevard, or you're driving by a subdivision where somebody has been out there, the contractor has been laying the blocks, you expect the next week to see the house get a little bit taller. You expect the next week to see it get bigger and bigger, and then finally you expect it to see the road or the building finished. God is looking for us to be growing, not drive by every week and you just see the blocks there, the foundation. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, the way we guard ourselves. And sometimes this question comes up with parents. How can I guard my children from the things that are out in the world? Well, Jude is telling us. How can I guard myself from the things that are out in the world? Jude is telling us. Number one, we have to be building. Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, "Therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord." That is when we first were converted. "Walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." We discussed last week the importance of being rooted and being a deep Christian, not a superficial Christian. Rooted and builded up. Building implies growth. Are we growing? Jude says, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. This speaks to personal responsibility. There's no religion by proxy. I can't let Moral be the religious person for me. I can't let John be the religious person for me. I can't say that they'll be the Christian. I have to do that. Before I can guard others, I have to guard myself. I have to be the Christian that I need to be. Building yourselves up. What am I doing to make sure that I'm built up each week? But number one, we have to be growing. And we have to have a growth that is built upon the right foundation. In Jude says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. This is a reference not to our personal faith, but to the faith of the gospel. If you go back to verse 3, Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith. He's talking about fighting for the truths of the gospel. The faith here in verse 20 is the same as the faith back in verse 3. That's the foundation. That's the starting point. The New Testament gospel. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. We're encouraging daily Bible reading. We're encouraging being present at our Bible classes. We're encouraging reading the Bible in our personal lives. Why? That's the foundation upon which we build. Not human wisdom, not what we think and feel, not what our friends say at school or work, not what's in the media, but the Holy Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, where Paul commends the Ephesian elders. He says, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among them that are sanctified." And that's the heavenly home. The word of His grace, which is able to build you up. There's a time and place for our technology and our phones and other kinds of things. And I enjoy that technology. I think that's helpful from day to day. But there's a time when we need to put that away. Unless we're reading our Bible on our phone, I guess that would be fine. But we've got to get back to God's Word. That's what we have to be building on. That's the foundation. We want our sermons to be Bible-based. Why? Because that's what you build on. It was discussed in the Bible class this morning that in the megachurch setting and other places, people don't want to hear the Bible. They don't want Bible-based lessons. They want a joke and a story and some fun things, and then we all go home. We can't build on that. That's like building on sand. And Jesus says when we do that, the house will fall. We can guard ourselves if we will build and grow on the Word of God. And this faith. It's the New Testament gospel. It's most holy because it is pure. It is set apart. There's nothing impure in the Word of God. It will guide us the way we need to go every day. Number one, are we building, are we growing on the Word of God? That's how we keep ourselves. That's how we guard ourselves. Back to the little book of Jude, the second thing he says is we need to be praying. How's your prayer life? How often do you pray? Paul talks about pray without ceasing. Is prayer just a church thing? That's just something I do in the building. Is prayer just a three times a day thing at a meal? We need to be praying for our meals. 1 Timothy 4, about verse 5, giving thanks for our food. But is that the only time we do that? Jude says, number two, keep yourselves in the love of God. He says, building up yourselves in the most holy faith and then praying in the Holy Spirit. How's your prayer life? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. How do we pray in the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Number one, it means that we pray and we appeal to Him to intercede for us. He takes our prayers and He adds to that. We're not told what He does, but He helps those prayers get to God and to be heard by God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 27, "And He, the Holy Spirit, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Number one, we pray in the Holy Spirit. When we pray, appealing to the Holy Spirit, please intercede for me and take my prayer and take it to the throne of heaven. We want to be heard. Praying in the Holy Spirit means that we are praying according to the words that He gives us and how we are supposed to live in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. We're not simply going to pray for things that we want and like and that are going to make us happy and make us feel good, but I'm praying the way God's will wants me to live in my life. And that gets back to the first point. I have to know my Bible. I'm not asking for things that I don't need or should have in my life. I'm not asking like James talks about in James 4, 1 and 2, where I'm asking for my own selfish pleasures. But I'm praying based upon the words of the Holy Spirit and what He tells me and how he tells me I should be living in my life. Paul writes, "What then is it? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also." This is the way the Holy Spirit was guiding Paul to pray and to sing. We could add to this Galatians 5:23, the fruits of the Spirit. Am I living the godly Christian life and I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control? I have these things in my life and I'm praying based upon those qualities in my life. I'm not just offering up a quick little prayer for something selfish. And then turn with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. We pray in the Spirit when we want to hear His words and follow those words and make sure that our prayers follow the will of what we read in the Scripture. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in the manner in which the Holy Spirit wants me to pray, asking for things that He wants me to ask for according to His will. Like Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but Thy will be done." How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? If I'm building on the Word of God, if I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm on my way to guarding and protecting myself. I love the song in our songbook, "Did You Think to Pray?" ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? You stop and think about that. When we find ourselves later in the day getting into trouble, doing something that we shouldn't have done, I would be willing to say that we probably didn't pray right before that. Had we done that, that would have kept us from it. Prayer will guard us. Building on the Word will guard us. Note in this same statement in Jude, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. It goes back to what we said earlier about personal responsibility. There is no proxy religion. He says, building up yourselves. You're responsible for that. And now look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Note that human agency is necessary for salvation. God does His part. He loves us. He sent His Son to die upon the cross. He through His providential care, cares for us each day. But we have to do something. God is doing His part, but we have to do something. What am I doing to get inside the keep? The protected area. Paul would say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There are things that we must do. And before we can guard others, we need to first guard ourselves. I love the statement here in verse 21. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God here is God's love for us. Turn with me to John chapter 15, if you will. John chapter 15. God loves us, and we have to abide in that love. John 15, verses 9 and 10. Look at what Jesus said with regard to His Heavenly Father. Even as the Father hath loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in My love. How do we stay within God's love? God's care, His salvation, what He wants for us. How do we stay within that? Look at what He says. Verse 10. If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. How? By keeping God's commandments. It's our duty to stay within the commandments of God. Turn with me to 1 John 2 and verse 5. This is something that is not popular today. How many times have we heard today in our society, I don't want rules? Been wanting to do a lesson sometimes. I haven't got it together yet. But the statement that is being made in religion, I don't want rules, I want a relationship. I don't want rules, I want a relationship. Actually, the relationship is the rules. But you'll hear these types of things. I don't want law, I just want love. Well, John says that we love God by keeping His commandments. 1 John 2 and verse 5. Whoso keepeth His word, in him hath verily the love of God been perfected or completed. God loves us. And all that He wants for us to complete it, to perfect it. There's all the things that God wants for us in our life. How is that brought about? Whoso keepeth His word. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That is just simply following God's commandments. Part of that is assembling here with the saints. Part of that is partaking of the Lord's Supper and living right each day. Our world puts down the ideas of rules and laws and regulations. But Jesus and John and others extol that and build that up. That's the very thing that keeps us in God's love and actually perfects it and completes it in our life. Jude says, looking for the mercy of our Lord in Jesus Christ. How do we guard ourselves? Well, we need to be building up on the foundation of God's Word. We need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. And we need to be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let me ask you this. Each day that you get up, each day that I get up, what is your outlook on life? What is your goal? What's always in the back of your mind as the complete objective that I want to accomplish this day? Is it simply school or work or things around the house, or is it beyond that? Jude says that if we want to guard ourselves, we need to be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We need to have an outlook. We need to have a vision. We need to have an anticipation each day that Jesus is coming again and I want to be with Him and go to be with Him in heaven. And that's hard to do when you've got the doctor's appointment. I know. And the weeds in the flower bed coming up here in a few months in spring. And that all the things, that the floor that's got to be swept and the baby's diaper that's got to be changed and all that kind of thing. But in the midst of all those little details and types of things, we always need to be thinking, Jesus is coming again and I want to be ready for that. That's how I guard myself each day. And we can do both. We can multitask. We can change the baby's diaper and sweep the floor and pull the weeds. And still have that in our mind. Is that always our outlook, our vision each day? How do we guard ourselves? Jude says, by looking for Jesus. It turns me to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Notice how that this helps us on a daily basis. The older I've gotten, the more I've thought about this. When I was younger, that, you know, you get up and you've got other things on your mind. My mind is full of other things. And I get that. When we're younger, that tends to be. But I'm trying to help all of us to get to the point where each day we're looking for Jesus coming again. It seems like the older I've gotten, the more that's been on my mind. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, God's grace has appeared to all men. Verse 12, we need to deny some things. We cannot live like the ungodly world around us. And then look at verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 13, looking for, helps us to deny ungodliness. Verse 12, we'll stay away from the things of the world if we're always looking for Jesus to come, and we want to be ready when He does. Each day, we should always have the end goal in mind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Each day should be like a race where the finish line is always in view. Each day, the goal should always be in view, and that is eternal life. Our young people play sports. They put the ball in the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Well, in the spiritual game of life, if you will, we must always have that goal. And that's Jesus coming to give us eternal life. Look at Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have the fruit unto sanctification and the end. Underscore that in your Bible. The end, your version might say goal, eternal life. That needs to be every day. What is the end? What is the goal? What's the finish line? And it protects us. Looking for. What's your outlook in life? Let's make sure that is always that which involves Jesus coming again. It will help us to stay pure. Back to the little book of Jude now, he says something else. He says that guarding ourselves and keeping ourselves involves some other people. I appreciate what Bob said the other day and the goals of the elders for this congregation in reaching the lost. The next verse that we're going to look at deals with reaching the lost. Jude goes on to say that as you're building yourselves up in your most holy faith, as you're praying in the Holy Spirit, as you're looking for Jesus to come again, notice what he says with regard to others. Verse 22, and on some have mercy who are in doubt. And some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now we're talking about others and our attitude toward others. And the way we keep ourselves and guard ourselves, believe it or not, is actually by talking with others about the gospel and trying to save them. if we're not out trying to save others, maybe we ourselves aren't that excited about being a Christian or excited about the gospel that we have. Jude says that we're to have mercy. This is the word meaning pity. It involves a tenderness and a patience to win someone. Let me ask you this, and this is hard to do. But when we leave this morning and you get in your car and you're going to the restaurant or you're going wherever you're going, look at the people going up and down Warfield Boulevard, up and down Wilma Rudolph. But look at them with a sense of they're lost. And I have pity. And I have tenderness and patience for them. They're lost in their sin. When you go to school this week, look at your classmate. Don't just look at them as a person, but as someone who is lost. A co-worker, a family member. And pity that. Have tenderness toward that. And say or do something that can bring them to the gospel. Are we merciful? Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Are we merciful where we have a tenderness toward others? James says in James 2:13 that judgment is without mercy, that's in the judgment day, to him who shows no mercy. That's right now. If we show no mercy now, that we're not going to get that in the judgment day. And James says in James 3:17 that when we have that wisdom from above, we are full of mercy. Tenderness. Compassion. And don't just see people driving down the road, but look at them in the eye and say, "This is a soul that needs saving." That's difficult to do, but I would encourage us to do that. I appreciate the elders wanting to put the little cards in our box. And I know the temptation, you want to take those and when you get home they go in the trash can. That's a temptation, I know. But just hand it to someone. A guy hit rear end of me Friday. "Phil, I need to come see. My neck really does hurt." He hit me Friday over there at the co-op. It wasn't hard. We pulled over and exchanged information. I used this card to write my name and number on. I wanted him to have one of these cards. Grocery store, neighbor, anywhere. Just hand somebody a card. We've got to do what we can to save those that are around us. I also wanted to mention about the bulletin. Dave Musnick takes 10 of these each week and he passes them out there at the pharmacy. I wanted to mention something about the bulletin, what I'm trying to do. And I've been trying to do this as we've been here with you, that on the inside, I've been trying to put an article that primarily would help somebody who's not a Christian, somebody out in the world. I just wanted you to know the layout when you get your bulletin. Read it, but give it to somebody else. And on the inside, it's typically an article that's going to help somebody out in the world that's not a Christian to become a Christian, to learn something in God's Word. On the back side there, the little part there right before the news and notes, that typically is something that I'm trying to do for us as brethren, to encourage us as Christians. But it's that inside article that tends to be a first principle, fundamental type of thing to become a Christian. And in this week, it's what about people who have never heard the gospel? And then the plan of salvation is right there at the end. So use the bulletin if you can. Take the cards that the deacons are putting in our boxes each week and give that to somebody. We need to be showing mercy to those around us, doing something to help them. And James says, look at verse 22, "On some have mercy who are in doubt." This is interesting. Jude uses a word that means literally to think back and forth. Someone who's undecided, someone who's wavering, who's perplexed, who's bewildered or confused. And there's a lot of people like that in the world. You work with people and go to school with people like that. You can take the gospel and help them. They're wavering. They're bewildered. And we can be there with the truth. Jude goes on to say, look at the next statement. in verse 23. And on some save, snatching them out of the fire. The word snatching that Jude uses here means an aggressive grabbing or seizing. It's not just a casual touching of someone, but they are headed for hell fire. And you're going to just energetically grab them. We would do that with a physical fire. We need to be doing that with hellfire. So a building's burning here in Clarksville, and somebody calls the fire department, and they pull up and they're lollygagging, you know. They haven't gotten dressed yet, and they don't know where the hoses are, and how do you hook up the which end hooks up to the truck, and they're, you know, kind of like the Three Stooges, you know, running around wondering what to do. And they saunter into the building, and is there anybody here? No, that's not how that works, is it? They jump out, they get after it. Souls are burning in fire. And they snatch, they grab them. There were times growing up when I was young that we always had a fire out in the yard, a little campfire or something like that. I grew up with that. So I wanted to have that for my kids. And we'd build these fires, and when the kids were real little, they'd be getting too close. I grabbed them. I didn't. There was no voting. There was no discussion. I just grabbed them. I didn't want them to get burnt. We need to remember that with regard to our friends and neighbors, and maybe even family members. They're on their way to fiery destruction of hell. They're dangerously close. And they need to be snatched or seized before it's too late. That's a part of keeping ourselves and guarding ourselves and being faithful, is saving those around us. And then Jude says, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to be careful when we're out in the world and when we're talking with others that we ourselves don't get burnt. He says, have fear. In other words, fear the situation that they're in, and don't get so close that you become just like that. That you start sinning like they are, and you start living like the world like they are. You need to have a healthy respect and reverence for where they're headed, and don't end up doing the same thing. You need to have fear because of that sinful behavior that they're doing, that we're not lulled into thinking that what they're doing is okay. And then we start justifying that and condoning that. And maybe even engaged in it. Without this fear, we can become sinful ourselves. There have actually been cases in the church where individuals, preachers, elders, deacons, Bible class teachers, song leaders, members of the church, they go help somebody who's not living right, and then lo and behold, you hear that they're doing something that's not right. Someone goes to counsel somebody else. Oh! And then they find themselves in some kind of a sexual sin or something else. We need to help others. We need to convert others. But we also have to approach that with a fear. And then Jude closes by saying, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Garment here is symbolic of a life of sin. He's not talking about their literal clothing. You can look at Zechariah 3, Revelation 3, 4. Garments are described as a person's life. And the garment that has been spotted by the flesh is the life that is sinful. And we need to hate that. Hate the sin. We love the sinner, but hate that sin. And be very serious with that. One way, in closing, that we guard ourselves, we go to the keep, is that we be like God. Do you remember in Proverbs 6 and verse 16, there are six things that God hates, yea, seven, and then He mentions those things? Remember that? There are some things in life you're just supposed to hate. And sin is one of them. Paul says in Romans 12:9, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. One of the problems in our society is that we have been surrounded so much by abortion and gambling and homosexuality and adultery and fornication. It's just everywhere and it's rampant and everybody's doing it, that we become desensitized to it. And we don't abhor it. And that's the devil's ploy, isn't it? So, there are people that were out there trying to save. And the sins that they're committing on a regular basis, we need to hate that to the point that it drives us to say something to them to save them. Who do we need to go home and speak to? Well, Jude says, these are the things that guard us. Are we building? Let's be building this week. Taking the Word of God and building on that and growing on that. Bible is not just about getting our lesson. We're not just going to read the Bible to get our lesson. That's a great thing to do. But we're going to read our Bible to personally build and grow. We're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. And prayer is not just going to be something that is a quick little thing that is said here or there, but there's going to be occasions where it might need to be brief. And that's fine. But there are going to be occasions where we're pouring our heart out for strength and help from the throne of grace. Each day we have an outlook looking for Jesus. There's always that tape at the end of the race. It's always there. That's the goal. That's the end. The result. Each day is, I want to go and be with Jesus in heaven. He's coming again one day. And then there's the lost around us that needs snatching. That aggressive grabbing because of where they're headed. And hating. There are five words here in this little text that end with ing. The continual action of each of these things each day will help us to guard ourselves. It's time to get in the keep. The devil's on the prowl. The enemy is on the prowl. We have to get in the keep. Keep yourselves. Great passage. Great passage. All of us want to guard others and protect others in our life. But the only way we can do that is if we will first guard and protect ourselves. There may be someone here this morning that we can help do that. And I hope that our lesson has strengthened us and encouraged us to go back out into that world and be guarded. Guard your heart or keep your heart with all diligence. Hopefully Jude has helped us along the way. If a part of that is becoming a Christian this morning, we would encourage you to come. The water is ready. All things are ready where you can submit yourself in baptism to Christ and be protected, having that sin washed away. Maybe you're here as a child of God, and in the past, you're not in the keep. You're out there exposed. You're not in the guarded place, and you have found that because of that, you've done some things that are wrong, and others know about that, and you want to let them know that you're making a change. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?